The Ensemble podcast is intended for professional financial advisors. This content is created in partnership with our sponsor, Generation Life, ABN 6 809 2843902, AFSL 225408, and BlackRock Investment Management Australia Limited, ABN 1300 6165975, AFSL 230523, and is limited to publicly available information. Before acting on any general advice, you should consider whether appropriate and obtain financial advice from a qualified financial advisor. Ensemble does not hold an AFS license and does not provide any financial advice or services or endorse any general advice. If a PDS or IM exists, you should obtain a copy and review it thoroughly before making a decision.
How are you now? And welcome to the Ensemble Investment Podcast. My name is James Whelan, Managing Director of Barclay Pearce Capital's Wealth Management Team, and I'm here to represent you, the humble advisor, doing their best to walk the line between client interests and asset class selection. We're trying to find the things that are not only appropriate, but that are actually working to be in the right things, the right time, the right way for the right clients. So get set, because we're going to do our best to answer some of the questions that have come up on the Ensemble platform. All information contained is general in nature. So here we go.
Two industry leaders, one shared vision, helping advisors deliver better retirement outcomes. Generation Life has a long-standing record of delivering flexible and innovative investment product and services designed to meet the evolving needs of Australian retirees. BlackRock's purpose is to help more people experience financial well-being. As a fiduciary and global leader in investment and technology solutions, BlackRock helps millions build savings that support them throughout their lives by making investing easier and more affordable. Together, we're helping advisors guide clients to and through retirement with greater confidence.
How are you now? And welcome to another Ensemble Investment Podcast. I am occasional talking head for Ensemble and also head of distribution for InvestHouse, James Whelan. On the show today, we explore, it's a good one, we explore how investment-linked frameworks support advisors in delivering more resilient, adaptable retirement strategies that balance growth, risk, behavior, and long-term client well-being. You're going to find this is a really good conversation, free-flowing, a lot of definitions, going to get you a long way along. And as usual, we're going to try and help you, the humble advisor, get a little bit further along in your life with regards to the conversations you're having with clients and the how, why, what, when with regards to these things that we are talking about. To help me with these talking about points that we'll get into, I have got Patrick Clark from Generation Life and James Kingston from BlackRock. Boys, how are you?
G'day, very well, thanks, James. Good to be here.
It's an absolute cracking day. Now, look, I'm going to go to my right, just at a theatre of the mind with the wonderful world of podcasting. I've got Patrick is to my right, James is to my left, just so that you can imagine it wherever you are in your car or on your surfboard. As I said, great to have you both. Usual icebreaker, Patrick, Generation Life, a quick introduction. What do you do and how do you make money?
Sure. So Generation Life is an APRA-regulated life insurer. We're a wholly owned subsidiary of Generation Development Group, GDG, on the ASX. And we manufacture two products, basically. We manufacture investment bonds, which are tax-effective savings vehicles that also have great estate planning benefits. And the second product we manufacture, which is dear to my heart, is an investment-linked lifetime income product.
And we're going to get, so it's effectively just talking about the investment-linked things, as we're going to get to in just a second. James, now, I mean, BlackRock is a pretty big entity. Do you want to be a little bit more specific about what you do and how do you make money?
Absolutely. I mean, look, BlackRock globally is now 20 trillion Aussie dollars in terms of total FUM. Over half of that is actually invested for retirement purposes globally. We've got a dedicated retirement solutions team globally, which is managing around $1 trillion, mainly in like glide path type strategies in the US and in Europe. In Australia, you'll know us for our iShares ETF range, the funds that we manage on behalf of advisors, but also for our Aladdin franchise, where we're managing or building technology for portfolio managers and advisors to manage client portfolios.
Excellent. Not a bad answer at all for those particular, and it is really an amazing honor to have you both here to talk us through this. Now, as means of context for what it is that we're saying here, we're talking about investment-linked retirement matters. We're going to talk about the what, we're going to talk about the why, and then we're going to finish off, if we have time, which I'm sure that we will, because the amazing Kieran, our producer, is going to edit this thing beautifully. We're going to talk about the how, and the how is going to be important to advisors for actually how we're going to implement it. Now, let's kick off with the what. Now, that means we're going to have to get into some definitions. Let's talk about investment-linked retirement. Look, Patrick, I'm going to kick off with you.
Yep.
What exactly are we talking about here today?
Well, what we're talking about is vehicles that people put their savings into to provide them for income in their retirement, you know, money to spend. So, you know, the typical investment linked structures are an account-based pension, and the second, which is the newer product, are investment linked lifetime income products. So they're the two tools that advisors can use to do the heavy lifting to turn retirement savings into income, because, you know, this is what it's all about. It's you've had a savings goal your whole time.
Mm-hmm.
You've now, you know, it's now about spending those savings to have the best possible retirement.
Now, do you want to spend a bit of time, if we go back in the history books, we talk about the evolution of this particular area of the industry, I'll say that. So, yeah, but where did all this sort of come from?
Well, I mean, it started over 30 years ago, when the account-based pensions sort of came about. They used to be called allocated pensions. I can't actually remember why that is, but it's an account-based pension, and it's what you convert your savings into at the point of retirement, and it's designed to pay an income. The evolution has been, annuities have been around for a really long time, but there's really only been one type of annuity up until about 2021, and that was what we call a traditional lifetime annuity. So something that's linked, invested in fixed interest, pays an income linked to CPI or a flat income. They've got a place still, but the issue with those products is that they're quite inflexible, and they don't give the potential for cumulative income or more cumulative income because you're fixed in fixed income instruments. The new type of annuity, an investment-linked lifetime income product, you've actually got the ability to invest in underlying funds and get exposure to growth assets. Now, you're a long time retired, so you know you want to still have an exposure to growth assets in both your account-based pension and your lifetime income product. Mm. So they really have evolved heaps.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's a good little history lesson. And you've also sort of brought out two things that we need to get into in this podcast, which is, first off, the trade-off between the flexibility and income. So trying not to get yourself too locked in. And then also talking about the allocations underneath that account. Now, James, that's where potentially BlackRock could come on this one. Before we kick off, generally speaking, and this is I always like to start with a bit of a free kick question on this one. So why is the link between investment markets and retirement outcomes so important at this particular time?
Well, look, I think advisors have been building portfolios for their clients for many, many years. They've been, advisors do that really, really well. So the notion of an investment link to your account-based pension is not, you know, it's not foreign way of thinking. It's obviously very natural. The question then becomes, there's still a longevity risk. So how can you incorporate longevity and manage for longevity risk?
We're going to do definitions in a second. So it's just,
okay.
No. I'm going to write down things that I need to define. So you got it going.
Okay.
This is good.
But the other notion is it's been volatile of late. We expect more uncertainty in the markets. For retirees, that's incredibly important. When you're accumulating, you've got loads of time to weather the storm. You've got less time as you approach retirement, obviously. But when you're in retirement, you're very concerned around sequencing risk. You're very concerned around volatility.
Yep.
So the way you manage that and the way an advisor manages that is really important. Now, they could be doing it themselves. We could be building portfolios. They could be working with consultants. You could be using off-the-shelf managed accounts like BlackRock offer. But managing that risk in retirement is incredibly important to managing your clients' assets to ensure that they can have the income they need and live the retirement they want.
Yep, and make sure there's no gap. We're going to get to the gap in a moment, which is important. Let's go through some of the definitions that need to come about. Sequencing risk?
The risk that markets kind of play out and you don't have the money that you need.
Excellent. Longevity risk?
The fear of running out of money. Yeah, because you don't know how long
I had
to live for.
Like getting off the bus this morning.
You just don't know how long you're going to live for, and that's what longevity risk is all about.
Yep.
People have traditionally managed longevity risk by not spending their savings. They save their savings.
Yep.
And that actually gives rise to another risk, which is regret risk.
Yes.
Which is the risk as you get to 80, you realize you haven't spent your retirement savings because you've been worried about running out of them.
Yep.
And you realize you've got all this money left. And you could have spent it. And you're going, geez, I wish I'd done something about that.
I personally have a bit of a gripe. And let's open a can of worms on this one. Handing I'm going to skip out. I was just talking about how your retirement savings should be for you, not for the next generation. You need to save and retire effectively that when it runs out should be your last day on earth.
A personal view, I actually agree. but you can't say that too loudly. No. Like a lot of people, they react really badly to that. And I mean, I can tell you that, that's what I think both governments wanted that. Yeah. Like, you know, a lot of the retirement laws, like the innovative legislation that came in 2019 was actually from the Liberals.
Yeah.
And Labor's continued that. Like Chalmers wants everyone to have a lifetime product. Because of the belief that it gives people the confidence to spend their savings. He wants people to spend their retirement savings, one, to have a great lifestyle,
yeah,
but two, for the macroeconomic benefits actually getting the money into the system.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's trillions of dollars there.
Look,
and more of it's moving into that retirement phase, and he wants people to spend their money.
Do you think that something like this, Patrick, is the next natural progression as being more widely adopted? I don't want to say from a legislation point of view, but...
Well, I think it could be from a legislation point of view because, the super funds should be offering a lifetime product. They've been told to by Treasury and they're holding off. But I think if they don't move, I reckon they'll be moved. I reckon there'll be legislation. Treasury's released these things called best practice principles. It's not a bad document to read, actually.
Yeah.
It's out there for draft consultation at the moment.
Yeah.
And one of the principles was that a super fund shall make available to their members a lifetime income product.
Okay.
So it raises an interesting question, though, what you just asked on Patrick's response.
Yeah, yeah.
Every individual when they retire is completely different. Some people want certainty. Some people want to take a bit more risk. Some people want to leave a legacy. Some people don't.
Yep.
Some people want to be a skier and spend their kids' inheritance. I'm advocating for my parents to do exactly that. Have a great life. So when you've kind of got that notion when everyone's completely different, it's about having the tools in your arsenal to kind of to build the portfolio that they need to deliver that particular outcome. And longevity and annuity is a part of that. The tool set that I think all advisors need.
Yeah. Coming from an advisor perspective, as I have, and also from a personal perspective too, the best way of accommodating that is a conversation between generations. That's one. It's for example, a conversation I had with my father a long time ago. It's not my money, it's your money. I didn't earn it. You do what you need to do with it. Anything you want to do and help out, it's up to you. But there is absolutely no expectation from our side to do that. My wife differs on that opinion completely, but it wasn't her conversation. But it is a generation conversation to have people sit down and say, look, I don't have to be here for that conversation. You guys have that. Come back and then we'll know that everyone's on the right page. Yeah, or where we're going to go. Let's just sort of overlook we've talked about what it can do. We've talked about the history of it. We've talked about potentially the future of it as well, which I think is interesting. What problem specifically are we trying to solve if we really break it down?
From my view, we're trying to help people use their retirement savings as effectively as possible to provide them with the best possible lifestyle in retirement. And so because that life could be 30 to 40 years, the oldest bloke in Australia is 112. He's been retired since he was 65. That more of those are going to happen. So, 30, 40 years, to use those retirement savings effectively over that long time frame, you need to be invested and you need an investment framework.
Got it. Now, over to you, James. Hello. why would you consider an annuity with an allocated pension?
So my background before I started working in finance was astrophysics and maths. So I always think about this in terms of utility functions, mathematics, how do we maximize a particular outcome? So when we think about an individual and the advisor working on their behalf, how do we take what they've saved and maximize that completely to give them the best possible outcome in retirement? So hence, from a annuity perspective, it's how do we ensure that there is an income for life guaranteed, which helps manage a particular risk? How do you optimize between eligibility for age pension, annuity, and withdrawals from the account-based pension? Those are the three dimensions that we're trying to solve for when we're thinking about maximizing utility and creating the best outcome.
Mm-hmm.
The notion of that kind of, you mentioned earlier that you're going to come back to this, but the income gap.
Well, we might as well just go into it.
So that's an interesting concept because once you reach retirement, it's very difficult to close that gap.
Yeah.
So the way that we've been thinking about that, and we've done this overseas with some of our products and the clients that we've been working with in the US and Europe, but we do this a lot with our clients here, is you need to start thinking about retirement even when you're 18. And you're thinking about how much are you contributing and how are you invested? to hit a particular goal when you do hit retirement. And then each check-in, when you see your client, is, am I still on the right path?
Mm-hmm.
Are the projections telling me that I'm heading in the right direction to hit the goal that I want, to hit the income that I want when I hit retirement? And each point where you can make that decision, you can then think about, well, do I need to change my risk profile? Do I need to change my investments? Do I need to change my assumptions about when I'm going to retire? I'm fully of the view that by the time I retire, I'm going to have to retire later, just because the way the world is going. And I'm okay with that. I'm reconciled with that. But I think a large part of that is having the tools that you need to be able to forecast that and kind of do those modeling and those calculations. And that's a lot of the technology that we've got within BlackRock that we're bringing to market here.
Well, you've got the microphone. Let's talk about the technology that you've got on this one. And then I do want to talk about calculators. And I know that, that Patrick, we've got Generation Life, pretty cool thing that we want to talk about there. So let's stick with you, James, at BlackRock.
Sure. Well, so let's think about the technology that BlackRock has, which is Aladdin, very well known in the industry. A lot of fund managers, pension funds, asset managers are using that to manage the risk of their portfolios.
Yep.
And that's also, there's an incantation of that, which is Aladdin Wealth, which is available to wealth advisors, which has recently been rolled out in Australia. So that enables the risk management of a portfolio. So if you're managing the account-based pension or if you're managing an investment option within the annuity, if markets were to move, if we were to get a macroeconomic environment that leads to a downside in that portfolio, how potentially big could that downside be? Mm-hmm. So you have to enable the advisor to be able to manage that risk effectively, and that's what Aladdin does so well. But then on top of that, there's a lot of forecasting that we do through our retirement solutions team, which is embedded in Aladdin, which is using BlackRock Capital market assumptions. How would that portfolio grow over the next 20-30 years.
Yeah. Someone's only as good as the forecasts that are being made.
Yes.
Which your forecasts are pretty good from my experience as well.
They are. I think all forecasts you've got to take with a pinch of salt. You can't rely on them wholly, but you need to keep on revisiting on a regular basis to make sure you're on the right track.
Yeah.
So those get embedded in the tools, and you can use that to then forecast what potential retirement income may be. And this is a lot of the work that we're doing with Generation Life now. How do we combine those two things together to give the account-based pension and annuity and give that forecast over the whole thing?
Yeah. So we talked about the idea that you may need to change because your requirements may differ as you continue to go on. And then you may need to change with the times and the macro environment and everything that you've got around out of products that are involved with it. I'm going to flick over to Generation Life now. How does that all fit together with the actual specifics of what's in front of a client?
So one of the questions you asked is about how why you'd consider an annuity with an account-based pension.
Yep.
And there's kind of quantitative reasons and there are qualitative reasons. The quantitative reason for a lot of Australians is that they can actually increase their age pension entitlements if they allocate a part of their retirement savings to a lifetime income product. That's because only 60% of the assets you put into a lifetime income product count to the assets test. So a clever advisor can actually bring forward age pension entitlements where someone's not getting them,
yes,
or increase age pension entitlements where someone's already receiving them. So that's a really important quantitative reason why you'd use a lifetime income product as alongside an account-based pension. The quantitative reason is just giving the person more confidence to spend their savings, because by implementing a lifetime income product, they've insured themselves against longevity risk. So, they have less reason to fear of running out of money because they've insured that they won't. And so, in America, there are studies that show that, people that have a lifetime income product as a part of their portfolio spend 50% more.
Because you have the confidence to be able to.
Because you have the confidence to be able to spend. So, the question is, what's the right allocation?
Here we go. Okay. So, I was about to say... What levers does Generation Life give advisors?
So we have a tool called a retirement income optimizer, and the advisor can input the vital statistics about their clients, age, gender, assets, etc. And then they can sort of see, if I just use an account-based pension, what's the outcome? And then if I allocate 30% to a lifetime income product, what's the outcome? And they can actually see, whether there's age pension uplift benefits and all that sort of stuff. But they also see, one of the trade-offs is the lack of access to capital.
Yep.
So that's available in the account-based pension. So the account-based pension is going to do the majority of the heavy lifting. You know, we are seeing a 20 to 30% allocation between an account-based pension and a lifetime income product. You're taking care of longevity with the lifetime income product. You're taking care of access to capital with the account-based pension, and you're maximizing total income by using a combination of the two, particularly when you bring the age pension into consideration as well.
That's, you know, so it does give an advisor potentially the power to be able to model exactly what you want to model. And these are being used in initial meetings with clients to be able to put it in front of people?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We think about a framework. It's called the four L's. And the framework is like everyone has a different weighting to these L's. Longevity, lifestyle, liquidity, and legacy. All right. Now, in my case, because of the lifestyle I've led, longevity is not much of an issue for me. But a fit bloke like James here, you know, he's going to have a longevity, you know, consideration.
Yep.
We have case studies that we call live large or leave a legacy. You know, to your point, you know, some people, that's what they want to do, right? Leave a legacy.
Yeah.
But others, you know, everyone should try and encourage their parents to do this. Live large.
Yeah.
You know, go for it.
Yeah.
But you can go for it with, you know, the confidence that you've put safety nets in place if you structure the right, you know, get the structure right.
So that's longevity, lifestyle.
Lifestyle is spending. You know, how much do you want to spend? And the retirement income optimizer that we've developed, you can actually lock a higher level of spending in for a period of time and then have it drop down.
Yep.
Because, you know, there's a study of this every developed country in the world, but Grattan in Australia did the leading study where they studied expenditure habits of people, and it starts to plateau at 70 and it falls off a cliff at 80. Yep. So we give the advisor the ability to sort of model that kind of scenario as well.
Okay, liquidity?
Liquidity is being able to access capital for those big events. You know, putting ramps and rails in your home, for example. You know, buying a new car.
And as you said, you can't be too tied up in something that will only come undone.
That's right. And I always forget the third
legacy.
Well, leaving money behind. So some people will live a frugal lifestyle to leave a legacy because that's what's important to them.
Congratulations to the Generation Life Alliteration team. I think that they've done an amazing job out there with these.
I'd love to claim it, James.
No, fantastic. James, we're going to bounce over to you really quickly. So we sort of talked just before we did the show about the ability to choose and pick what it is that you're invested in inside the product. Now, do you want to sort of pick that apart a little bit more just with regards to what BlackRock can add to that conversation?
Yeah, so let me take a level up to start with, which is when you're thinking about retirement portfolios or, you know, the account-based pension portfolio that you're building for your clients, majority of advisors that we see will break down those assets into buckets. So you've kind of got a long-term growth bucket, something medium-term, and then a shorter-term cash or cash plus type bucket. The longevity bucket is another one you can add to that, which is more of a guaranteed bucket in there. So the choice of what you put in the annuity then have a knock-on effect on how you think about the rest of the portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
So within the annuity, you can put everything in growth if you wanted, and you're kind of getting that guaranteed income from a growth portfolio. But if you want a little bit more consistency, you're willing to get less income, then it might be a little bit more defensive, so maybe more balanced.
Yep.
I think, I don't know what the most popular ones are on your menu, Patrick.
Let's go. It's about 60-40, about a 60% weighting to growth, 40% to defensive assets.
Yep.
Yeah.
We have 29 investment options on our menu, going from cash through to, you know, a rock and roll international equities active fund.
Yeah, I'm familiar with those two.
And, you know, about 65% of our policies are in one investment option, but that's a diversified investment option.
Yeah.
But then we've got 35 in models, if you like people using single sector models. So I've got one portfolio that's got 12 investment options in it. But
okay.
But
that'd be a bit over.
Yeah. But it's clear that people are loving the fact that they can, that their lifetime income product doesn't have to be in fixed income.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what it was up until 2021.
That would have been my assumption.
Up until 2021,
yeah.
Your defensive allocation had to be in the annuity.
Yep.
Now it doesn't. And so the advisors really, they've got three decisions to make. Decision one, what's the allocation between an account-based pension and a lifetime income product? Mm-hmm. What's the investment strategy in the account-based pension? What's the investment strategy in the lifetime income product? And the beauty of the lifetime income product is you can change that strategy. Prior to 2021, you couldn't. Once you were in, and you couldn't change the story. Now you can. And so they're the kind of the three decisions that need to be made.
Well, James, I'll be a lifetime 60-40 guy until the day I die. Yeah. I'll die on that hill. That's just me. Are you seeing that's similar with what you see in the underlying selections?
Yes. Yeah, so I think on average, when we speak to advisors, most of their clients when they're at retirement are somewhere between 50-50 and 60-40.
Yep.
And indeed, if you look at a lot of the super funds, if you look at some of the funds that we run in retirement land with glide paths, they finish around 50-50 by the time you reach retirement.
Yeah.
So that sort of asset allocation is typical. If in the investment option for the annuity, you decide to go, okay, I want more growth assets in there because I want to, I want more guaranteed income from a growth asset.
Mm-hmm.
You can then, or what we typically see is that the rest of the portfolio, the ABP, will then be re-risked with more defensive assets, so that overall you're more balanced. Similarly, if a advisor or an investor is using like a CPI-linked annuity, which is fixed income instruments, they tend to take more growth assets in the rest of the account-based pension. So there's always a knock-on effect depending on your choices. So to Patrick's point, on average, we see around 30% allocation to an annuity in terms of the whole wealth. On average, we'll see 50-50, 60-40 in the annuity and then a reweighting in the account-based pension to then account for that. So there's kind of those three things that you need to think about.
Okay. While I've got you here, what else is BlackRock seeing in and around that sort of space? You guys have always got the best stuff with regards to research, with regards to all the goodies. I love picking any time I get a BlackRock person on the show.
Yep.
I love picking the brain of anything that's interesting that you're out there about at the moment. Put you on the spot with this one.
Retirement related or non-retirement?
You know what? I prefer retirement related, but anything else would be fantastic just to sort of, just to entertain me.
Oh, look, so retirement space is really interesting and it's something that we're focused on globally. So something Larry has spoken about a lot in his letters that he released at the beginning of the year.
Yep.
In the US, we launched a product called LifePath Paycheck. Innovative because it embeds an annuity within a glide path. So we're actually thinking about how do annuities fit into a retirement portfolio for those clients.
Okay.
Similar sort of conversations in Europe happening, and now we're kind of seeing the same sort of conversations happening in Australia. How do you use annuities with a liquid portfolio together to get the best outcome? Look, beyond retirement, there's loads of interesting stuff going on there in terms of new products coming to market in the ETF space. So we just launched a Bitcoin ETF.
I was seeing
a lot of interest in that.
I didn't want to be that guy on this one, and this is definitely not what the show's about today. But the demand from super funds to have some sort of access to crypto is phenomenal, and I'm not sure how, as an advisor, you're supposed to be able to deal with that.
Look, the demand is definitely there because you see the performance, but you also see volatility in crypto. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting, but I'd say use caution about how you do use it and just have an ability to kind of take that risk.
Yep.
I'm 90-10 in my super fund, but I wouldn't touch crypto with a...
Not even a little dabble.
I've
got a great ETF for you if you're interested.
Yeah, that was Ned's chance.
There is a conversation that's coming up more and more from advisors to their clients as well. And they're talking about, they're just in that, they call me the king of the segue because I'm talking about awkward conversations that you have with clients with regards to crypto and they need something and having that. Let's have a conversation that's slightly easier that advisors should be having with their clients, which is how do you have this conversation with a client? Now, Patrick, I'm sure that you're very familiar with how to guide advisors with that conversation, to how to talk to them about this annuity product. How do you start?
Well, you talk about it in terms of outcomes, not product. That's the first thing. Yeah. So, what are they trying to achieve? What are they worried about? Have that four-wheel framework. As maybe got what's important to you to talk them through that. Talk them through the benefits of this outcome. Conversation about, would you like more age pension? I think we can get some for you.
Yep.
And I don't know an Aussie that doesn't want a dollar back from the government. So that's really, it's about the outcomes before you actually talk about how you're going to implement it. That's kind of a learning for us over the last 3 years in terms of talking about these products to planners is don't talk about the product, lead with the outcome that the product can achieve.
Yep.
And then, and when they see that, they'll go, okay, I should actually be thinking about these products.
Have you noticed that advisors have become more adept at being able to have these conversations on this side. Since, I suppose, since 2021, you've noticed that there's been a turning point for the underlying.
It's like the use of annuities is growing gradually, but it is gradual. We've still got more work to do. I am glad that there is weight in numbers now. So, you know, Challenger for a long time was the only one, really.
Yep.
Now there's six of us.
Yeah.
And there'll be 12 of us in 2 to 3 years' time. You know, but yeah, back in 1998, when I built my first annuity, there was 14 of us. Yeah, okay. 2021, there was one.
So it all just came down to one.
And now it's growing back again. So
fascinating. Always so just so interested in those sorts of stories with the market. We're talking about exactly that, especially when people go back to the 80s, which is
where the market. I started in the 90s.
One thing I'll add, if I can, to that is
sure.
The biggest thing that we see, and this is not only across advice land, it's across direct land as well in many other markets, is conditioning and getting investors and retirees to think about income rather than balance.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very difficult. I think in advice land, you're talking about growing your balance, growing your wealth. You don't necessarily talk to a client around, okay, this is how much you could be making every year once you've stopped working from your retirement savings. And we've taken a very conscious effort in what we've done in other markets to condition clients from early 50s to start thinking about the retirement income they're going to generate and not thinking about balance. Balance is a secondary consideration.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I think we're seeing some clients in Australia now starting to do. Because when you stop working and you're not earning the money, if you're conditioned on balance, you don't want to spend it. But you need to be conditioned on how much am I actually going to be able to make and live on and live my life once I've hit that retirement
point. It's a huge behavioral issue. Like,
you know, we can go into behavioral.
And this is what I think when I first saw the MyLife paycheck back in September of 2 years ago.
That's all technology in the US.
I just went, that's it. That's what's going to solve this, right? Because, you know, Helen Rowell, the old head of APRA, gave a great speech where she talked about the fact that she sees lots of logos with nest eggs, right?
Yes.
And we just are familiar with it on this save, right? So Australia doesn't have a savings problem. Australia has a spending problem because people are afraid to spend their savings. And so she said, I don't see many logos of cracked nest eggs because it's a big deal for someone to take 150 grand out of an account-based pension and put it into a lifetime income product.
Yeah.
The benefits are going to be fabulous, but it's a big step to do that.
So what's the behavioural conquer that you need to be able to
take off? To condition people much earlier than getting to 67 and suddenly having this flick, this mind flick. What you actually need to do is condition them from age 50 that this balance is actually going to become income. So you're moving it away from a balance and a nest egg mentality to an income spending mentality.
I get you. And one of the big conversations that I've had on this one, and I think a lot of people have been having a lot, is this generational wealth transfer that's going on from one side to the next. Do you think that the new generations coming through, I mean, I'm not saying that you're going to have to be advertising on TikTok anytime soon, Patrick.
you're considering your TikTok either. Yeah. Four Instagram accounts, TikTok.
For a guy with no crypto, I think it's going to be tough getting on there. Do you think that the new generations coming through that are inheriting this wealth are going to be more adept at having these conversations?
I think so.
Yeah?
Yeah.
BlackRock, have you got any research on that?
I don't know.
That's fair enough.
It is the answer. I think, you know, financial literacy hasn't been taught to a lot of people for so long now.
I tell my daughters, yes, it's very difficult to do.
So, I mean, I educate my kids, but the industry as a whole needs to do more to kind of capture the younger generations and bring them on that journey.
It's not often I'll give the Poms a rap, James, but in the UK, they've actually got this terrific piece of legislation, which is called the Wake Up Pack.
Yeah.
So basically, super funds in the UK are mandated to send to people 5 years out from when they can actually take their money a pack that says, hey, in 5 years' time, you're going to be able to take out your money. Here's four things you should think about.
Okay.
And one of, you know, two of those things are about converting it into an income stream. We should be doing that in Australia. We should be doing that 15 years before pension age.
Yeah.
And for exactly the reasons we've talked about, for that conditioning for what you're supposed to be using your superannuation for.
Getting set and conditioning that. Okay, I think that we've tackled a few things here. I'm just trying to see, you know, obviously, theatre of the mind. I'll make a few notes about what it is that we're supposed to be talking about here. We've talked about the how. We've talked about the what. We've talked about the why, for sure, until it's there. We've talked about some behavioural. Did you want to go into more about some of the behavioural areas that the BlackRock might have with the analytics and modelling, scenario modelling, talking about return paths? We've talked about that in first.
Yeah, look, behavioural is interesting because we always talk, as an asset manager, we talk about portfolio construction. We talk about stock selection.
Yeah.
As an advisor, you think about tax, how to optimize for tax to kind of create an outcome. The biggest determinant in terms of performance is behavior. If you get worried by markets and sell and don't come back into the market in the wrong time, noting that the best 20 days of the market usually follows the worst 20 days of the market.
I love the stat. Yep.
You will lose a huge chunk of your potential retirement savings.
Yep. What is it? Now, if you miss out on the 20 best days of the S&P 500, for example, yeah, then you're flat.
Yeah.
It's some insane stat like that.
You lose a large chunk.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the answer to that question is different whether you're 20 or whether you're 58. Because if you are 58, you're probably worried about that sequencing risk and you don't want to lose your assets just before you retire.
Mm-hmm.
But if you've got time, just hang on to it. Don't change it. Don't panic. Even the super funds, I've heard from clients say that a lot of people de-risk and switch their investment options. So as an advisor, advisors are there to kind of support their clients and give them peace of mind that, yes, hold the line, stay invested. I'll manage a portfolio, I'll de-risk it, but I'm not selling out. Stay invested. It might be a different conversation when you kind of hit 50, 60 and you're getting closer to retirement.
Yeah.
But psychology and behavioral finance is really important when it kind of comes to your overall experience and your overall performance, and it goes back to checking in, making sure you're on path, and you know, staying invested through those turbulent times.
Yep. Which is sorry, Patrick.
Well, I was just going to say, financial planning. A lot of financial planning is about the numbers, but a lot of financial planning going forward will be about the coaching.
Yes.
You know, about the behavioural coaching, things to look out for.
Yes,
etc. You know, about this transition, making this transition from income from work to income from savings.
Yep.
You know, that's going to be a really interesting time for planners.
And we do a lot of work with advisors on this. So we actually do a lot of workshops and seminars, and we support advice businesses thinking about this and how they engage with their clients.
Yeah. And the different conversations you need to have as you later, you potentially, if there are some shocks in the market, it's going to take you, it's usually takes you as long to recover from that. You don't have as long at the particular end of your investment journey. Now, we're about coming up on our time here, which is sensational. So thank you very much for joining us, but we have not finished yet. So any advisors wanting to start small, the longest journey, start with the smallest step. That's The Hobbit. Anyway, what is the simplest, most actionable first step to introducing an investment lens to a retirement advice process?
Well, look, almost all advisors will already be there because they'll have clients that have got an account-based pension. But, you know, looking at a client to see whether reallocating to a lifetime income product could improve the outcomes,
mm-hmm,
you know, that would be a really actionable step. So giving a Generation Life business development manager a call, talking through what would be a good client to have a look at, and then using the retirement income optimizer just to see how it could practically be implemented.
Yep, not bad. So the Rio, again, with the acronym team and the alliteration team at Generation Life, are doing an amazing job.
I'm the TLA king, James.
Outstanding work. A final message to advisors, James or Patrick?
I think this is the start of an interesting trend for advisors to help optimize their clients' outcomes. We've got some interesting and exciting stuff coming out next year, BlackRock mm-hmm. and Gen Life, which I think will add to the tool set for advisors.
Yeah.
But I'd highly recommend, you know, reaching out to your respective BDMs for more information on those things.
I mean, this is the biggest opportunity facing for financial planners. More people turn 65 next year than ever before in Australia's history. And those people will have 34 years of super guarantee contributions having grown over that time.
Yep.
So they've got a lot of money.
They have the money there.
And they need help to work out how to use it effectively, and that's the role of a financial planner.
And truth be told, it actually seems fairly simple to be able to get this thing started as well and maintained. Gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us on this one. Of Patrick Clark of Generation Life and James Kingston from BlackRock. Anything at all? Thank you so much, boys.
Thank you.
All right. I am James Whelan, Occasional Talking Head. for Ensemble, and that has been the show. Thank you very much, Kieran, for a more amazing production. Stay safe and all the best.